Beautiful performance, I think, from Anne-Sophie Mutter with the Trondheim Soloists. Well, it's time now to welcome my next guest this afternoon. She's a singer who's carved a very special niche for herself on both sides of the Atlantic. Trained in both classical and folk music, her career spans 55 years of performing, travelling, political activism and songwriting. Here she is singing Occupation Is On, It's Peggy Seeger, live on In Tune.
Well, I reckon those bankers should never been bailed. They should be sitting tonight in jail. No use waiting for the by and by. Let's go to St. Paul's and occupy. Doggone, occupation is on. The top 1% are feeling fine. We're here to represent the other 99. We may be sitting down, but we're standing tall. After the Arab Spring comes the European fall. Doggone, occupation is on. I asked about Wall Street. I says, what's all the fuss? They said we occupy Wall Street 'cause it occupies us. Corporations on top. That's how the world is run now. Times are changing and a new day's begun. Doggone, occupation is on. You know I need a job to pay my debts. Money talks so loud it shuts up all the rest. A downsized merge all across the nation. I lost my job but I found an occupation. Doggone, occupation is on. We're gonna sit here, we're not gonna shirk. You can tell we're workers 'cause we're out of work. We want justice and we want it now. To heck with the footsie and down with the Dow Jones. Doggone, occupation is on. We can't wait for kingdom come. We're asking what would Jesus have done. He'd evict the money lenders. He'd occupy like us. He'd say the beginning is nigh. Doggone, occupation is on. All over the world you can hear the call. Housing, jobs, justice, and human rights for all. In Spain, Greece, and Egypt, and the USA. Everywhere you go you can hear us say. Doggone, occupation is on. And you know that was in the same key as Mussorgsky's key.
What more do you want? Peggy Seeger live, and she plays in the same key as Mussorgsky. It doesn't get better than that. Peggy, thank you so much. What a song. Occupation is on, and we all thought that political songs were dead for a while. It seemed like songs with a message kind of evaporated, and hey, they're back.
Well, no, I'll say it wasn't totally my song. It began with a song by, oh my, what's his name, back in the 1930s called Panic Is On. Doggone, Panic Is On. And that was taken by Dave Lippmann in the States, and an American version was made, and I used about half of his words. And the other half is mine.
But it's kind of handmade and passed down the generations.
That's
the beautiful thing about these kind of songs, is that unfortunately we keep repeating the same mistakes and the same songs are still relevant to
us. Oh, except I'm older than Dave Lippmann. Because he's a youngster, you know, I think he's only about 65.
I don't believe that. We don't believe a word of this. Peggy is the youngest woman I've ever seen in my life performing music here with incredible energy and intensity. You've said, I've read before, that you're going to give it up when you're 80, and are you 76 now?
I'm 77 next birthday.
Are you still planning to give up at 80? I don't think you look ready to start making
music.
I
said I'm going to give it up. I didn't say what it was.
I thought there might be a caveat, because you still love performing. You can see it when you sit there playing.
I do.
And it's not just about playing music for you, is it? It's also about storytelling, about jokes, about a connection with an audience. I know when you do these live gigs, people come out not just singing the songs, but talking about the tales you've told them. Why is that such an important part of performance for you?
Well, I'm very privileged in that some of the music that I sing connects with the past. It's traditional music, and it's been handed down for centuries. And some of it is from right now, like that one, excepting that one, is also goes into the future. It's what we're going to do. It's what's coming up. You know, the occupation movement is huge now. And you can get police to take them out of Wall Street, but they're going to settle somewhere else. We are going to settle somewhere else. I've been to St. Paul's. It's very orderly, and it's well organized, and it's clean, and the people there know exactly what they're doing.
I'm interested to know, when you were growing up, that you come from this incredible family of musicians. You married an incredible musician, one of the pioneers of the British folk movement. You were right in the middle of the American folk revival. Was music, and music as an extension of politics, absolutely there from the start? That you would talk politics, you'd sing these songs. Was that just embedded in you?
My family, my birth family, my father and mother did not talk politics at the table. My father had been a communist back in the 30s, and I didn't know that he'd been a communist back in the 30s until the early 60s, because he reckoned that we shouldn't know that. Politics really entered our life in the 50s with McCarthy, when my brother Pete appeared in front of the House Un-American Activities Committee, and where his career was virtually ruined with the Weavers. I don't know how much you know about this. And then we started talking politics, but it was more or less in hushed tones of voice in the house and among the students. The one that I really owe any political gut awareness to is Ewan McCall.
Well, he was, of course, followed, I think, by MI5 and put on a blacklist and
oh, yes,
called a communist. And, I mean, he suffered very much a similar thing over here, a similar fate, that many folk musicians were accused of communism, whether they were communists and activists or not.
Well, I don't think I ever saw an MI5 person skulking around behind us, but when the time came to go to the United States, we both had a sight of our dossiers, and his was about a foot high, and mine, even though I hadn't done anything, was about 4 inches high.
That's pretty impressive. Was that a scary moment, seriously?
No, not at all. I was impressed. I was wondering how they'd gotten it all. Because I'd never done all that much. You know, Ewan was quite revolutionary in his youth.
But that must have given you an incredible sense of power. You know, these are, that musicians aren't just people who do something decorative and pretty, that music can change the world, that music is political and it's significant in the world.
Some music is. Music is political in that we get the music that our society deserves. We get the music that fits in and comes out of where we are in our sociological, our industrial and political growth. I mean, look at the music now. So much of the music that's actually the mainstream music is very heavy beats. It's distressed people. There's less melody, say, than there was back in the 40s. You try to hum the average pop tune, and it's very difficult. And there's many just repeating words over and over.
We'll talk more about your thoughts on music in a moment, but I'd love some
more live music from you, if you don't mind. So you want another song?
If you'd love to give it to us. What are you going to sing for us next, please?
This is a song that I wrote when I was 54, and I had just started a relationship with my present partner, who is a woman. So writing this song, I don't really understand where it came from. It's called You Don't Know How Lucky You Are.
Thank you very much. Performing live for us on In Tune, it's Peggy Seeger. You Don't Know How Lucky You Are.
And the crack you heard was my knee as I stood up. Before you pour the wine out and turn the lights down low, are you thinking I don't notice that you're taking it slow? There's a little something I want you to know. You don't know how lucky you are. Now I'm not just any woman looking for any man, and I don't intend to change me to fit into your plan. I'm a hell of an angel, and you better give a damn. You don't know how lucky you are. That chord's there somewhere. I'm not the kind of woman who'd follow you around, who wouldn't let you be your own man and always kicking you around. Put you on a pedestal, then knock you down. You don't know how lucky you are. Now I'm a woman, knows how to use the door. I'm writing you a love song, it's one you can't ignore. Lie back and think of England, 'cause I've been here before. You don't know how lucky you are. Are you the kind of man who won't share the dirt, who can't clean out a toilet or sew a button on a shirt. Before I start the race, boy, I'm checking out the turf. You don't know how lucky you are. I'm not the kind of woman who cares to take a chance, who'd trade a lot of living for a little romance. Shall I go home now? Or do you want to dance and find out how lucky you are? 'Cause I know how lucky you are.
Peggy Seeger singing live with that incredible range that you are famed for. There's a very low register going on there. It's lovely.
It gets lower every year.
I love the line in that, lie back and think of England. And you're living over here now. So can we claim you for England now? Can we say Peggy Seeger is officially British?
You claimed me from the moment I turned up here on March 26th in 1956.
Why? What's the love affair with Britain?
I love the country. I was brought up in a big country. Whereas the song Home on the Range goes, the skies are not cloudy all day. Whereas here, there's nearly always clouds in the sky
every day,
at some point.
Yes.
Yeah. I love the smallness of the country. I love the way the language changes as you move north, and the cultures change. I don't know if they still do that. I've just come back after 16 years away. I did what most of you Brits haven't done, which is I swore allegiance to the Queen in a mouldy little lawyer's office in Lincoln's Field.
And why did you do that? Why did you feel so strongly about it that you did that?
It's a long story, but you can kind of read on my website, peggyseeger.com. I was in love with a married man who was 20 years my senior, and I was pregnant. And it's a very, very long story, but I wanted to be able to stay here. And I became a resident due to a number of concatenating circumstances.
But you base yourself here now, even though you travel, obviously, all over the world still performing. And I think, am I right in thinking you have 8 grandchildren now? Is that right?
I
count them quickly.
Well, if you want to put it in terms of blood, I have 4 blood grandchildren, 3 step-grandchildren and 2 token grandchildren.
And what
they're
kind of a grandma are you? You're not a conventional
I'm
grandma.
I'm not a very good grandma. I wasn't there when they were little to help. I see them whenever they want to see me now because the youngest is 16. The oldest is 23.
Do they come and watch you at gigs?
Very rarely. I tend to go to them with gigs because 4 of them are very musical. One's in a group called Bombay Bicycle Club. Another one, I don't know what Tom calls his band now, and Harry and Fraser, they're the twins. They play guitar, banjo, not banjo, drums.
So the musical genes are still going down the generations.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they are. Absolutely, they are.
And I'm interested to know, in terms of your future plans and what you still believe the song has to offer for future, where we started really today, that political songs with a message, have come back into fashion and seem to have a renewed sense of force and energy about them. Do you still think the song has the same power it had in, say, the 60s?
I think you'd probably have to ask people who listen to them. I'm a producer, but I'm also a consumer. I love songs that put into a memorable form with a memorable chorus, something that you can sing to make you feel better about the way things are. I don't wander around the house singing unhappy love songs. I really like political songs that have something to offer as a new way of thinking and as a way of drawing together people who are in a political situation. The one for St. Paul's, that's one of the 2 that I made for that. I made another one where the chorus is, sit down, just take a seat, sit down and rest your feet, sit down on the concrete, sit down, sit down. And if the government leaves you out in the cold, sit down, sit down. If you've lost your job and your life's on hold, sit down, sit down, sit down, just take a seat. Now, that has a different purpose from the one doggone, because people can't join in with the doggone ones. But they can clap, they can get together, and they can feel good and together, and that's there have been songs that brought governments down. Apparently Lily Bolero brought several kingdoms to their knees because people were laughing at the royalty and the king.
Well, as you say, songs can be a call to action, they can be satire, they can bring people together in all sorts of communal ways. You're doing this gig as part of the London Jazz Festival on Friday. So what can we expect there? What kind of songs are you going to be giving us there?
Oh, it'll be anything from an unaccompanied ballad to... I've got a new song there, which I'm trembling in my boots to sing, because you always tremble when you're singing a new song. You don't know if you can remember it, and you don't know if people will like it. And it's a bit of a way-out song called The Progress Train. So there'll be... I've got six instruments. It'll be a mishmash of everything I do. Contemporary, there'll be love songs, there'll be sad songs, happy songs, minor, major, 3-4, 4-4.
And you got a band, or is it just you?
No, no, it's just me.
Just play.
It's an ego trip.
Is there anywhere that you've not got to yet musically? Are there any unfulfilled ambitions, things you think, I have to do this before I stop performing? Or you've done it all?
I would really like to play with my sons. My sons, Callum and Neil, are beautiful musicians, and I wish my daughter Kitty would sing on stage with me.
You can't persuade them? You must be able to persuade them.
They're professional people. They're very rarely in London, any of them. I'm hoping that when I can't tour anymore that I'll be able to write music on the computer. I was just over at the Mac shop on Regent Street, and I've bought Logic Studio, and I was... hoping that I can make some music that way when I don't go out to tour anymore.
Yeah, and you're not someone who puts your feet up. I saw a picture of you on your website from 2 years ago where you were skydiving.
Oh, yeah,
Peggy,
that was fabulous.
It's not safe, Peggy Seeger. What were you thinking?
Look, it's not safe to go on the M1 or the M5. Look, I mean, that accident last week, it's not safe. I've been in a 20-car pileup on them. I've never been on a 20-person pileup when I was skydiving, you know?
So you've got no plans to sit back and relax then?
Well, no point when you're 77, you know. Might as well skydive again. Cross your fingers coming down. But if you ever go skydiving, Susie, you have to, when you jump out of the plane, keep your mouth shut. Because you start at 400 miles an hour. And your mouth, if it's open, you can't shut it. You know, that picture looks as if I'm happy. Well, I can't shut my mouth.
Okay, a tip for you there. Keep your mouth closed when you're skydiving. more live music, please, Peggy.
Okay, I think I chose the last one because it was about this time of the year in 1989 that Ewan McCall died. And he was my first life partner, and we'd lived in each other's pockets 24/7 for 30 years. And it left such a hole in my life that I wrote a song for him called Once Again.
Thank you very much indeed. Singing live for us, it's Peggy Seeger with Once Again.
I have to put a capo on for singing this, because it's just a little bit higher. And I am a little bit out of tune here, so... Thank you for the long, long summer days. For the long, long winter nights. Thank you for the singing and the songs. Thank you for the life. Once again, once again. I have said it all before, now I'll say it all again. Once again, thank you for the sharing and for the faith, for the flowers in my hand. Remember every time and every place. Thank you once again, once again. Once again, we have lived it all before, now I'll live it all again. Once again.
Thank you for the children, the gift of love, gotten when our life was full and strong. Thank you for the hope and for the joy. Thank you for the songs. Once again, once again, we have sung them all before, now we'll sing them all again. Once again, thank you for the songs. Once again, once again, we have sung them all before, now we'll sing them all again. Once again.
A song written by Peggy Seeger for Ewan McColl. That was Once Again. Peggy Seeger, thank you so much for coming in to see us today.
Song You're... with a frog in my throat.
And it still sounded great. I'd like to sing like that with a frog in my throat. Peggy's going to be playing King's Place this Friday, 8 o'clock. That's part of the London Jazz Festival. Such a pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for joining me today, Peggy Seeger.
Thank you.
You're listening to In Tune on BBC Radio 3.